check it out.
Welcome to Top of the Class. Hear from education experts and get insights from high achievers to learn how you can do the same.
Get into those top schools.
Ready?
Proudly presented by Crimson Education, the world's leader in university admission support.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of the College Chats podcast. It's a new series of the Top of the Class where we're going to be focusing on college admissions, and I'm delighted to have former UChicago admission officer and now current Crimson senior strategist Steve Hahn with us today. Steve, welcome to College Chats. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So, my name is Steve. I currently live in Los Angeles, California. Previously, I've lived in New York and Korea and Florida. I went to the University of Chicago, where I graduated in 2017 with a BA in biology. I now work with Crimson as a senior strategist. I also work as a full-time actor and comedian. So I do TV and commercial work, I guess. And then in Chicago, I worked with the admissions office a lot at the University of Chicago. So I've been working there since 2013, and I read admissions from 2016 to 2018. So I helped admit the classes of 2021 and 2022. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much my background.
And you're the TikToker.
And I am the TikToker. I am the TikToker with Sam for Crimson, yes.
Well, Crimson as well. So, yeah, for students out there having a listen to the podcast, maybe they can go ahead and listen to the TikTok and vice versa potentially as well. Maybe new TikTokers joining us on the podcast, brought over by your fame. And I love it. I love it. I mean, what a random career path, I guess, you've had in terms of like studying biology to being in the admissions office, to being doing comedy and now doing TikTok. I'm going to guess it's been a bit of a wild ride. But do you enjoy the role as being a Crimson strategist?
Yeah, it's great. I always say the admissions process is like a board game that someone's mom lost the instruction manual to. Mm. So no one knows how to play the game, and everyone's guessing like what works and what doesn't work. And my job is just to provide some clarity and provide an instruction manual, essentially, just to make it make a little bit more sense. That's essentially it.
I love that analogy. I think everybody's got at least one of those games lying around the house, which, you know, you're just trying to look at the cover of it and just trying to figure out what is this game all about based on the front cover image, right? So what are we chatting about today? What kind of topic do you want to delve into a little bit more?
Yeah, I think talking a little bit more about what passion looks like on an application. And I think that, like, for me personally, as someone that's read admissions, and for me, when I applied to college, you know, I got into, you know, a few Ivy League plus schools. So, you know, I ended up going to University of Chicago. So I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is just how to indicate passion on like paper, essentially.
Right? Yeah. I think that's such an interesting topic because I think it's such a vague one as well in many respects. Yes. Like, you know, students are often told follow your passions, and who knows exactly what that is or how to then express it in an application, I think super important. So from your side of things, how does passion come across in an application and what students can do to make sure that they're presenting their quote unquote passion in the best way possible?
Yeah. So yeah, it is totally a phrase that we hear all the time where it's, students are told, and it's hard from a young age to know what your passions are because you're only 16, 17, 18, and you haven't lived as much life as like, you know, someone like, you know, you or I have, for example. And it's just, it's hard to pinpoint that. So I think a big misconception that a lot of students have about the admissions process is that they have to be like amazing at everything that they like, at 10,000 things, right? They think that they have to be like a math competition star, but they also have to be all-state orchestra, and they also have to, you know, there's this misconception about like everything that goes into being a stellar applicant. And I think something to keep in mind is that an admissions office is not making a class of well-rounded students. They're making a well-rounded class of stellar students, right? That's the main thing, right? Is that it's do you play Pokemon?
I have dabbled in Pokemon, yes.
Okay, I use this metaphor because I do mostly work with like STEM nerds, which is my bread and butter, that's me. Yep, so I always tell them, right, if you are listening to this and you're a Pokemon fan, but you know, we're not making like an Ash Ketchum, like the lead of the TV show, or make who has like one of every type of Pokemon. We're making like an Elite Four or like a gym. We're making like, you have to be like, being specialized helps you in this case, right? Which doesn't mean like you can't be good at a bunch of things. That's not what we're saying now. And if you are the kind of person that is well-rounded, like that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but don't feel the pressure to do a bunch of different things, because what passion ends up looking like on application is that it really comes out in your essays more than anything, because you can write almost anything to like look good in an activity list or a resume or whatnot, because it's just listing things. But in your essays, it really comes across when someone, when a student is really passionate about a topic or really excited about a topic, it is way more enjoyable for me as a reader to read it, but it also just gives us a chance for adding three-dimensionality to an essay or to an application. Because otherwise, you know, if you look at me, for example, you know, in high school, I was like a math star. I did all-state orchestra. I did varsity swimming. I was like pretty like good at a lot of different things. But, you know, if you took my statistics, there's a lot of students that probably looked like me across the country, my school, even my city. And the thing that added like flavor and color and texture to my application were my essays, right? Where I have a sense of humor. So my essays, only one of my essays was serious, but the rest of them were all, you know, like pretty facetious and lighthearted. So, you know, when I used to bring students into a room to like argue for their case in the admissions process, I would never refer to them as like by their test score or their grades or whatever. It was always like, oh, remember that kid that wrote about XYZ, right? My favorite essay I've still ever read from UChicago was this essay that you would never thought the student would have written this essay. It was about his application was like very STEM focused. He had done a lot of research, like a lot of math sciences. But his essay, the question that year was like, combine two historical figures or pop culture figures or whatever, make like, write us a story about this new person's biography. And we got a lot of like fine answers for that one. But it was my favorite one because he wrote about, he combined Lil Kim, the rapper, with Kim Jong-un. So it was Lil Kim Jong-un. And it was this, it was ridiculous. It was just stupid is the best way to put it. It was so good, so funny. So, you know, and his passion, ultimately what we found through the essay was he's really big into pop culture. Like he was a Quiz Bowl star, and his position, I guess, on the Quiz Bowl team was pop culture, even though you can't really write about that on the activity list. So it became very evident to us that that was just his passion. So passion doesn't have to have like, I think that's another thing is that students think that there needs to be like an external metric of success for passion. And that's not the case at all, right? You're able to, you can have qualitative metrics of success that you define internally for an essay. So yeah, that was a long way of saying, you know, passion really comes across in your essay. So write about things that actually are of interest to you, because a lot of essays we get are, as an admissions office reader, is, you know, a lot of them are like pretty, they lack passion. So a lot of them are read in such a way where they're like, my name is this, I am interested in this. And, you know, they list their resume out essentially in their, or their activity list, which we recommend not doing on your essay. It should be a chance to show another facet of your application. So yeah, I think like allow something that's actually of interest to you, whether you're serious or silly or whatever in between, like showcase that on paper.
Yeah, I think passion is such an interesting topic, particularly for students. As you said, they might not have necessarily had the chance to do some of the things that they might be passionate about. So say, for instance, as a student who's really passionate about, I don't know, astrophysics or building cars or whatever it might be, but at school they may not have had like the opportunity to go out and actually do those things as yet. So most of their passion would be based on either their readings of other people who are building cars and those kinds of things. Is that still a legit passion if the student can show that through their essays and extracurriculars?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think another thing that students forget is that stellar cases that you see in the news and whatnot, they compare themselves to those students who are like on Shark Tank at the age of 16 or, you know, are Olympians or whatever. And one really important thing to remember is that an admissions office is really hypercognizant most of the time about barriers of access, barriers of entry, you know, knowing the difference between like access and equity for, you know, a student coming from X area versus Y area, right? Like, you know, we take that into account 100% because that's why we ask for a lot of other forms that you have to submit, because your school gives us a school report. So there's a lot of reasons for that, so that it gives us understanding. So just because you want to be an astronaut one day, but you haven't done like a NASA training program as a high schooler, doesn't mean that we're not gonna, like MIT won't accept you, right? There are a lot of ways to engage passion beyond just what ultimately are points of access to, like, you know, points of privilege or whatnot, right? So especially nowadays, I think the conversation is way more moving towards equity versus equity rather than equality. And so, you know, for a student, if you're worried about your passion not necessarily being, as like I mentioned earlier, a quantitative metric of success, don't worry. There's a lot of ways to qualify that, explain that, and add texture to your application to be able to showcase it in a different kind of way. I mean, for me, you know, for example, I really loved comedy for a long time. I never knew I could do comedy professionally in any kind of capacity, but I showcased my interest in comedy and pop culture as well by writing about it in every single one of my essays. And that just showcased that for me, even though I had never done like an NBC fellowship, or I had never done like, I wrote about 30 Rock, the TV show,
yep,
in a lot of my essays, even though like I had never done like a page internship, but nothing in my application would scream, this guy should go into comedy one day, except for my essays. But you know, that's when I talked to my admissions officer, he was like, yeah, we remember you as like the funny, like the random funny kid from Florida, you know?
Nice, nice, nice. Well, one of my other questions on passion is, I think a lot of students confuse being really good at a subject with their passion as well. So they might say, well, I'm really good at maths, but they might not necessarily like love it. They only enjoy it because they're really good at it. So yeah, is that something that an admissions officer is able to tell the difference about? And if a student is really good at something, but isn't yet really passionate about it, how do you perhaps convert that into a passion? Or what would be your recommendations for a student who's in that situation who says, well, I'm really good at a whole lot of subjects, but I can't really see anything that I'm necessarily passionate about right now?
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, what students need to remember in college is that like most universities that these students that are looking towards probably aren't like trade schools where you would only be doing like one thing. So keep in mind, when you're good at a subject, that will help you in college, even if you're not necessarily going to major in it, because generally a college course breakdown is a third of your classes, at least American universities, a third of your courses are your major, a third are your general electives, and then third are general requirements, and a third are your electives. You have like room in your schedule, and part of it is that you have to be able to have a lot of diversity of thought in your course load. So just because you're good at something doesn't mean that it's going to stop as soon as you go to college, academically speaking, at least, right? Extracurricularly, that's a different story, but you know, academically, that won't stop. In terms of how to convert something like math, like being good at math but not necessarily being passionate about it, I ask a student that pursued math, and I say this as someone that I like did math competitions from third grade till the day I missed my high school graduation to go to a math competition. Like I was doing it till the summer after I graduated. I was doing math competitions for my school and my team. So I get it, but I'm not gung-ho about math. I know I'm good at it. I realized maybe too late on in my high school career that I was passionate about winning, which is not a good enough reason to do something, but I was passionate about winning, and I knew that the easiest way for me to get there was math, right? So for me, having gone through it and not being able to explore that, I challenge a student into thinking, you know, if you are good at math, let's say, but and you are continuing to do it, but you're not necessarily passionate about it, think about like, what about the experience of math is deriving joy for you from it? Because it might not be the math itself, it might be like the camaraderie, it might be the competitive aspect, whatever. How can you dissect your experience in this certain thing into a discrete unit, take that out, isolate it, and think about what other realms are there for me to explore as a high school student that still allow me to derive joy from this like specific facet of something that I'm good at, right? So in math, again, for me, I really enjoyed winning that, and I enjoyed the camaraderie, right? So for me, I ended up doing more like student government volunteer work too, right? And that ended up being a really like big joy of mine as well, my senior year of high school. So, you know, I think it's a lot easier said than done, but you can find points of joy derivation, I guess, from things that you're good at. And then once you are able to identify that, zoom in and magnify that, and then find where passion can kind of filter through that lens.
Yeah. I think that's such a good tip. So yeah, it's kind of like not necessarily focusing on the big picture here. It's kind of like focusing on the niche type of thing. Like, why do you enjoy math? Is it not necessarily because of the problem solving or that kind of stuff? Maybe it is, you know, the fact that you enjoy sitting next to the person in class, what's that connection that you have with that person, and explore mm-hmm. that a little bit more, explore the, you know, the winning side of things as you did and missing your graduation to enter maths competitions. Yes. That's pretty cool. Okay, so we've explored passions, and I think we could explore this a lot more for students who are interested in wanting to explore their passion a little bit more. Maybe they could, you know, request a academic consultation with an academic advisor. I'll put a link down in the show notes for that. But let's get into the top tips for students to stand out, to be the top of the class. We've covered a few bits and pieces already, but through your experiences, which are many and varied, what would be one or two of your top tips for students to stand out?
Yeah, my first top tip would be start practicing your personal statement early. Like, start practicing writing that 650-word personal statement limit that exists in the US, at least, is really niche and hard to hit naturally. And a lot of students are really bad at talking about themselves, like, surprisingly so. I mean, I can't relate to that because I talk about myself way too much. But, you know, if you are bad at talking about yourself, that's okay. That's actually probably good. And your mental health is probably much more stable than mine. But what I will say is, you know, if you are bad at talking about yourself, you need to practice being able to advocate for yourself and talking about yourself and answering a question that is about you, right? A lot of admissions questions aren't trying to trick you, but students get really tripped up in them, right? So for example, a really common essay ends up like is asking the question of, write about someone that's really inspired you or that you look up to. It's a really common essay topic. And most students end up writing the entire essay about like this teacher that they've had that's amazing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's great, but the school is not admitting that person. The school is admitting you. So you have to remember how to bring it back to you, right? So instead of answering the question, why are they a good teacher? Answer the question, why are they a good teacher for you? Why are they specifically a good teacher for you? What are the qualifications that you need to a teacher to meet to be able to be satisfactory to you? And why did they go above and beyond that, right? For you. Yeah. So being able to bring it back to you is a really hard skill to hone in, but the students that have been practicing personal statements or writing in I statements or, you know, about themselves tend to do better in the essay arena. So that will always help a student. That's number one. And number two, if you're listening to this in 9th and 10th grade, my biggest recommendation is invest in yourself and allow yourself to go out for things that might scare you and build a diversity of interests for yourself, because you are, one, allowing yourself to pick and choose from the best options for yourself when you get older, when you are busier and you have to hone in and go more depth rather than breadth. Mm-hmm. But two, you know, it just allows you to invest yourself so that when you apply as a senior, you have 4 years of experience to pull from. You have 4 years of experience to talk about. You have 4 years of experience going into university so that if you were to continue it, for example, you already have a plethora of experience as a first year rather than, you know, needing to catch up as a first year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So invest in yourself both with extracurriculars and practicing writing.
Steve, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom on the College Chats today. It's been awesome having you on. As a quick reminder, you can request a free 1-hour consultation with a local Crimson academic advisor. There is a link in the show notes, and that will help you get you started on your journey to the world's top universities. And I hope students have learned a little bit more about how to put passion onto paper for their application.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Top of the Class. Subscribe for future episodes. For show notes and to plan your best future, head to crimsoneducation.org.